as part of the solution of our problem. And his plan was, once again, not an afterthought, but from the very foundation of the world, saw a problem, and he gives us a solution in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes, and he lives, and he dies, and he's resurrected. And that message, this message of that, you know, sometimes we look at the gospel as only the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not only. It includes that. But it encompasses all of it. It encompasses God's love, his grace, his mercy, the fact that he was able to see our sin and meet us in that place because of the fall of mankind. And because of that, the powerful message, Paul makes this statement in Romans 1:16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is what? The power of God and salvation, right? For the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he's saying this gospel message, this message that we all know literally means good news. This good news message is to be proclaimed, is to be shared, is to be told to the world so that we all understand how blessed a position we are in Christ Jesus, right? So I want us to remember a few things. First of all, I want us to remember the price it took for us to receive this that we have. Jesus Christ willingly lays down his life for us. And the gospel reminds us of the price that was paid for our salvation. You know, I say this often, you know, if someone were ever to come to you and just automatically place $1 million at your feet, and you say, well, what do I do to deserve this? You go, absolutely nothing. This is a gift. I'm giving it to you. And then that person leaves. And now, all of a sudden, your life is completely changed. Right? How many of you know $1 million will change life? No. Right? Your life is completely changed. And yet, maybe a year later, this person comes back, knocking on the door, they're down on their luck. Brother, can you give me $100 to catch the Amtrak? Now, how foolish would it be for you to close the door on that person? How dare you come and ask me for $100? No, what would you do? What should you do? Give it to him. Give a little more now. Come on, don't be cheap, y'all. I'm gonna give it. No. Give a little more. Why? Why would you? Huh? You've been blessed, right? And because you've been blessed, and you ain't only been blessed just a little bit, you've been blessed a whole lot, right? That sounds like good preacher talk, don't it? You've been blessed a whole lot. And now being blessed, you are now indebted to this person, right? I mean, he didn't have to give you that million, but he did. He steps away and he finds himself in a precarious position, and he's back at the door and says, please give me just a little tiny bit. And see, y'all see where I'm going with this, right? Look at what God has blessed us with. Look how God has given to us. Look the price that was paid for what we have, and Jesus Christ being that great gift that we all receive, that's laid at our feet. His redemption made possible through his blood. The salvation made possible through his blood. The now being brought back into the family of God based upon what he did. And here we are, recipients of this great gift. And being recipients of this great gift, I owe him. I'm indebted. And look, I can't pay it back. Hello. I ain't got $1 million. Don't come to Brother Ray and say, you got $1 million. No, I can't pay it back. I can't even help you in that regard. I'll give you 10. All right, anyway. But now, having all that, we're so indebted to the Lord. And look at this. It says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus comes to the struggle we have with sin, the penalty, and especially the penalty of sin. He comes and erases that for us. Now says, bro, you're free. But what does free really mean? Does free mean free to do whatever I want to do, however I want to do it? No, obviously not.
free from the penalties of the sin, free from being dragged away by Satan. Now in him we are free. And now being free by obeying this gospel, now we understand this, the urgency of this gospel, that this gospel, we talked about it on last week, this message that God has given us, this command to take this message to the world. We talked about the Great Commission last week. And we can't afford to be complacent. Why? Time is short. Time is short. And sometimes, you know, we think, man, I got all the time in the world, And, you know, we do this all the time. I remember as a kid, we knew mom was coming home, but yet we're playing video games and we're eating snacks and doing all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, it's 4 o'clock and mom walks through the door at 4:05. Y'all know what we did, right? Time to clean the house? No, we didn't clean the house. We put everything under in the drawers and in the closets and the dirty pots in the oven. Hold up, there ain't no kids here hearing me, right? All right. So we do all of that, you know, and mom walks through the door and it looked like, we didn't do it. But anyway, we thought we had enough time. We had enough time. Then you look and it's like, now we're scrambling to try to get everything together. Time is short here on this earth. James says our life is like what? But a vapor that appears for a little while and soon it vanishes away. And so our time is short here on this earth. And then our season to really do this ministry and share this is now. Our season is now. Jesus says, don't say 4 months more and then the harvest. He says, I tell you, open your eyes and look on the fields. They are ripe to the harvest. Look around. You know, I was in Eastern Maryland yesterday. We were doing an evangelism workshop. And I'm sharing with them, you know, that the us going out and sharing the importance of sharing this message to the world and the fears that oftentimes come as a result whenever you think of evangelism and sharing the good news, you know, those fears that come, how will they receive me? Will they reject me? Will they think I'm crazy? Will they, you know, now all of a sudden leave me or I don't know enough, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things we shared yesterday was, and I kind of shared it last week also, God's with us when we're going through all these things. He told him in Matthew 28:20, he said, Lo, I'll be with you until when? The end of the age. So wherever you go, and you're working in my name and doing my will, I'm right there with you, God, Jesus is telling us. He's right there with us. As we're in alignment with his will and walking his will, he's right there with us. So what are you going to fear if God's with you? Right? What can't you do if God's with you? We just got to go out and do it and kind of just throw off the restraints and kind of just get ourselves sometimes in uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. Because if when you say Jesus, you know that there's a lot of different people that are going to receive it differently. And sometimes that's the very fear we have. And yet the Lord's telling us, I'm with you. I'm with you. Say something about me. Say something for me. It is important. It is urgent. Why? Because this is a liberating message. It's a message that brings freedom. And it's a message that someone has to say. Someone has to tell. Here we are, the Great Commission, sharing this. Look at Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then can they call on one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Think about those In the book of Acts, especially, you know, you kind of see this early church that's on fire that now has received this fresh revelation from God, showing them the direction for their lives, not just for them, but also for us. And yet they're the first ones to kind of receive this and start seeing this liberating message, this gospel of grace. And now they understand that they have a mission to carry this message out to the known world at that time. And they did it. They did it. They put themselves in harm's way, many of them. All right? So some of them were burned. Some of them were tarred. Some of them were tied to chariots, and their bodies were torn in two. I mean, they were put in stadiums. Some of the early Christians put into stadiums and tigers. I mean, and you know, they would be sport for the world, the known world at that time, just for exercising their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet with those threats, with that persecution, they didn't haste to stop telling. They didn't stop telling the story. They continued sharing. In spite of the persecutions, they continued sharing. I'm going to just talk about myself right now. In light of that comment, sometimes I look at myself and go, man, if they could do that and all that, me in these comfortable times, in my comfortable house, in my driving my comfortable car, sometimes have a hard time saying something. I'm the preacher. I'm telling you as a preacher. Sometimes I have a hard time sharing Jesus with somebody else. And it's not that I really have a hard time, because y'all, if you talk to me, you know I don't have a hard time talking at all. Sometimes it's just opening the conversation, getting the conversation started. And I want to tell you this. It's always, I mean, once the conversation opens, it's easy sailing then. At least in my case, it usually is. It's easy. The hardest part, really, that's what I'm trying to get you. The hardest part is the start. And isn't that true in every area of your life? Yeah. Going to the gym. Once you get in the gym, you get back in the gym flow, right? They call it gym flow. You get back in the gym flow. The hardest part isn't what you do when you're there. It's the preparation and getting the mindset to make a decision to go ahead and do it. And in sharing this message, it's the same thing. Here we are as preachers sent on a mission to share the good news with the world around us. And yet it's hard to sometimes just start the conversation, explore. But what does it say here? How can they hear unless someone's preaching to them? You know, I was lost. I was confused about a lot of things. I needed somebody to come and talk to me personally. Someone that has some flesh, blood flowing through their bones. Bones, blood flowing. Yeah, I guess blood flows through the veins. There you go, veins. I don't think blood flows to the bones, but. But nevertheless, we need someone else. Look, what did the Ethiopian eunuch say? How can I? He said, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? I know I'm in Church of Christ here. I'm waiting for somebody. How can I? Man, all right, I'm going to sit down soon. I see y'all checked out on me. How can I accept some man should guide? We need someone. You are that someone. Oh, amen, amen. And then remember his story. And we're living a life of purpose. We're not here by chance or accident. I don't even believe God has called you through his gospel that you're in this place at Green Bank Church of Christ. I don't even believe you're here accidentally. I believe there's a purpose to me being here, to you being here, to us being here together. And so what we have to do now, especially in being in Christ, is live that purpose out wherever we are. Live that purpose out that God has given to us. So I want you to read with me 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us, called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace that was given in us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. You see? Not an afterthought. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. For what purpose? That you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 2:10, for you are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Does this tell you that you already had a purpose before you even knew your purpose? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. God's working this thing out for his purposes. We're in here for his purposes. We're in here to serve his purposes. He's blessed us. He's blessed us immensely, and because he saved us, as 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us and called us into this holy life, not because you've been so great or done something so wonderful, but because of his grace, because he's so good, he's so loving, he's so giving, and because he has a purpose for you and I. What's our purpose? Carry out this message. Continue. Demonstrate living out the gospel in our own lives and sharing it with others. Let's remember his story. Let's remember his sacrifice. Let's remember what he has done, the blessings in which we have now received being in Christ. And maybe there's someone here this morning, you want those same blessings. You want that same salvation. You want to be added to that same family. You want to receive that great reward that Jesus promised when he said, if you be faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. And we want to be the ones to be able to stand there and hear him say, well done, a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few, I'll make you rulers over many. If there's someone here this morning ready to put the Lord on in baptism, you've heard what you need to do, that you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism this morning for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to put that on, put the Lord on in baptism this morning, we got clothes ready, we got water ready, everything is ready if you're ready. And if you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name, glory to his precious name, singing glory to his precious name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete, singing glory, glory to his name, glory to his precious name, singing glory to his, glory to his name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood we're singing glory, glory to his name. Amen, amen. May God bless and be with you as we close out. Brother Rory, you guys have something to share? Okay. Brother Rory, come and close us out then.